sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you believe what you just saw? Bobby Mack can't.
Fifth PGA Tour win of the season, I think in 10 starts. That was 17 yesterday at Caves Valley up in Baltimore, actually a little bit northwest of Baltimore in Owings Mills. What an unbelievable shot at what was an impossible hole yesterday. Steve Sands was there. He joins us right now. We're going to talk some football with Sands. He would prefer to talk about Brian Robinson Jr. being on the trade block and Terry McLaurin's contract. But, I mean, come on, man. Like, how is this being talked about among all of you guys? I mean, are we getting to the point where this is legitimately comparable to Tiger?
Yeah, there's some things that are certainly comparable to Tiger. The relentlessness, the pursuit of greatness, the consistency, the time after time of putting himself in this position. I mean, he didn't win the first FedEx Cup playoff event last week in Memphis, but he was a shot out of the playoff. So he was right there. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan, Kevin, of rubbing the anointing oil on an athlete just yet, but it's getting enough of a sample size right now. It's been 3.5 years since his first win. He has 18 wins, a gold medal, 4 majors, a FedEx Cup title, the only player in the history of the sport to go back-to-back at the Players. He has a chance this week in Atlanta to go back-to-back for the FedEx Cup. Nobody has ever done that before. So it's getting close to fighting off the differences between the two and starting to compare them as well.
I used to always think about Tiger that the charisma was in the game. I mean, Tiger's not like this incredibly compelling off the course. I mean, not counting all of the, you know, the transgressions, the digressions, all of the controversy, all the injuries, I'd throw that in there too. But during his moments, it was always the game that was charismatic. Scotty's not considered to be charismatic off the course either. But some people will say his game's not charismatic either. Yesterday, 17 was a memorable shot. But for those that don't pay attention and just kind of see, God, that guy Scheffler won again, explain to everybody why Scheffler, why he's so great and what makes him so great.
Well, if you think of our sports teams and our city and think of our signature moments, Riggo's 4th-and-1, Theismann breaking up, you know, the potential interception in that Super Bowl, the whole save, you know, there's moments after moment after moment of things, you know, in our lifetime with Maryland Terrapins basketball. I was talking about someone the other day about Drew Nicholson, you know, back at UNCW game. And there's millions of moments, millions. There's a lot of moments in our life that we remember. I think yesterday's chip in at 17 was a signature moment. That was a signature moment for Scotty. You know, you're looking for, has he done this? Has he done this? Has he done this? Well, that's a memorable moment. We remember his wins, but do you remember any of his shots at the Masters and remember the PGA?
No, not really.
That's something is a signature moment that you'll remember, that chip in yesterday. And the reason he is so great is, first of all, he's talented. Second of all, he works so hard. And he treats every round of golf on the PGA Tour as if it's the final day of a major championship. He has a relentless drive to win. He will crush you in chess. He will rip your heart out if you are playing him in gin or anything. He's just a competitive, competitive guy, but he does it in a congenial manner. And I think I told you this, Kevin, at the Masters. Steven Yeager, the week before the Masters, is the Valero Texas Open. 2 weeks before is the Houston stop on the PGA Tour. 2 years ago, Steven Yeager beat Scotty Scheffler with a birdie at the last hole. They played together the whole thing. So last year, this past April, I was talking to him on the practice putting green on Wednesday, and I asked him, what's it like playing with him? How intimidating is he? And Steven said, it's interesting you say that or ask that. And I said, why? He said, because he doesn't intimidate you with his personality. He doesn't have gamesmanship. He doesn't intimidate you with his presence or his prowess. What he does intimidate you with is with his greatness. Tiger was the opposite. Of course he was great. And of course he intimidated other players because of his greatness. But Tiger's real strength as far as the mental aspect was the other people, he was in their heads from the get-go. Scotty's not like that. Scotty's just flat great. And that's a kudos to him. And he does it in a nice, congenial manner. But don't mistake his congenial nature for the lack of wanting to reach inside you, Kevin, and rip your heart out right in front of you. He will destroy you at any moment. And that's a wonderful quality to have in sports.
It's also oddly maybe in conflict with what he said about a month ago. We're talking to Steve Sands,
yes.
Of course, Golf Channel,
yes, it
NBC.
Does. Yes, it does.
Yeah, and we haven't had a chance because I haven't had you on since, I don't know, the PGA? No, the Open. Whenever it was. He said about the game of golf and his career, he said, quote, this is not a fulfilling life. It's fulfilling from the sense of accomplishment, but it's not fulfilling from a sense of the deepest places of your heart. There's a lot of people that make it to what they thought was going to fulfill them in life. And you get there, you get to number one in the world, and they're like, what's the point? What is the point? Scheffler asked. Why do I want to win this tournament so badly? That's something that I wrestle with on a daily basis. That was before the British Open, the Open Championship. We haven't had a chance to talk about those comments. I'm curious as to what you thought of them in the moment.
Oh, it was amazing. And if you know Scotty at all, and I've gotten to know him quite a bit over the course of the last 4 or 5 years, he's a wonderful guy. And we see Meredith, his wife. We see Bennett. I mean, this kid Bennett, all he does is go to wins. I mean,
is that
a year
true?
And a half old. I mean, Kevin, he's a year and a half old. All he does is see his father win. He's not going to remember any of it, but he's going to be in all the pictures and all the videos. And his parents are there, and his sisters are around a lot too. And Scotty is a incredibly grounded human being. You know, you think of these professional athletes who are making tens of millions of dollars and flying all over the place privately and having this kind of lifestyle and that kind of lifestyle. Scotty is dating and married and has children and has a child now with his high school sweetheart. And they are completely intact. His mom and dad are wonderful. His sisters are wonderful. He's incredibly religious. I have no problem with people who are religious. I'm not religious. But the only issue I've ever had with people in sports who are religious are the ones who throw it out there so much,
right,
that you're like, wait
in
a second,
lecture.
Is God,
yeah.
Are you telling me God was rooting for Scotty and not for Robert McIntyre? I think God has more important things to do than worry about the BMW championship and, you know, that kind of thing. He doesn't even wear that on his sleeve. And everybody knows how much his faith means to him. So when he says faith, family, then golf, or family, faith, then golf, I believe him. And he's genuine about it. And it doesn't mean he's not competitive. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to win. It doesn't mean he doesn't want to be the best player in the history of the sport. What it does mean to me is that at any moment, he might just wake up and say, you know what? This isn't the pursuit I want to travel anymore, and I'm going to go a different route. I hope that doesn't happen until his greatness is fully reached. But that's the only thing that I took away from that comment at the Open, because he was being honest, he was being genuine, which is what we all want our athletes to be. But I do think that he might wake up 4 years from now when he and Meredith, say, have two or three kids, or maybe they only have Bennett, whatever it is, and he goes, you know what? I'm good. I'm just gonna do my faith work, and I'm gonna do my family work, and I'm not gonna play golf anymore. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But he is a incredibly nice guy and incredibly great athlete.
real quickly on the shot that he hit on 17 yesterday, par three. For those of you who didn't see it, he was deep and left and in the rough. And I mean, this hole was playing at an average score yesterday at 3.6. It was a par three. Where he was impossible because he had to land it probably in the only spot that he did land it to make it. But just to keep it close was going to be impossible. I mean, I it was funny because before we went to the tee shot at 18, you guys were interviewing Ricky Fowler with Cara Banks, and he almost didn't finish his answer before the tee shot. But he just said that's right. Impossible. From where he was, he's either going to run it by, into the rough on the other side, or it's going to stop 20 feet short. How did he make that?
He's just a magical player. And that's what I'm saying. When you think of the greatest athletes in sports, Kevin, they all have signature moments. You know, like I was telling someone the other day, I think Aaron Rodgers is a top five quarterback of all time. And I think he's a magnificent player, but I don't remember a single moment, you know, like a real true moment. You know, I'm not talking about a Hail Mary and stuff, but
he had some Hail Marys that are memorable. He had the long pass at Dallas to get into field goal range to win a playoff game. I remember some Aaron, but you're right. There's not the signature moment.
Right. So, like, I feel like Scotty kind of has gone these last 3.5 years. I'm not denigrating Aaron Rodgers. I think he's fabulous. And I do remember that pass and that catch on the left sideline against Dallas at Dallas, which was an amazing moment. But, yes. But anyway, so Scotty's building this resume. And I think yesterday, is the biggest memorable moment, I think, because of the situation and where it was and how he did it. That ball was either going to go long, rough water or short 20 feet. Like you said, there's no way that he was going to be able to nestle that within 5 or 6 feet and have a great attempt at par. And he ends up jarring it. And he hit it in the right spot, rolled in like a putt. When the greats step into the arena, things happen. And I'm not comparing him to Tiger. I'm not yet. But when Tiger would be in that situation, that's what he did. And, you know, did Rory do that from 2011 to 2014? I don't remember that. Did Spieth from 14 to 17? He had some really, really great moments, actually. Spieth did. But his sustained success kind of stopped in 17. I don't see Scotty's sustained success stopping anytime soon. It's just pure greatness and a relentless pursuit of competing. It's amazing to watch.
23 professional wins, 4 majors, as you mentioned. He's just 29 years old. Do you have any sense as to what Tiger thinks of Scheffler?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tiger has told me before that he thinks, you know, I think Tiger's one of these guys who is, he said this to me before, let's wait and see, because, you know, you don't want to, you know, jump on board just yet, but we are getting enough of a sample size now where you're like, wait a second. Tiger thinks the world of him as in a work ethic sense, in a competitive sense, in a skill level sense. You know, he drives the ball beautifully, doesn't drive it majestically like Rory and like Dustin Johnson, like Greg Norman, but he drives it beautifully. His iron play is second to none. His proximity to the hole, which means giving himself opportunities at birdies, is just incredible how many opportunities he has at really good runs at birdie, which means he's able to score. And his chipping and pitching, I know the 71st hole yesterday was a great shot, but overall his chipping and pitching is top 10 in the world. And his putting was 2 seasons ago, like 186th on tour. It's now 20th. So with the ball striking matching up with the putting, even Tiger, who is as tough a critic as you can possibly be because he was the greatest player of his generation, even Tiger has said, whew, we might be looking at something really, really special here. I hope he continues on this path because he's young, he's hungry still, and he already has 4 majors. You know, if he wins 1 or 2 next year, by the way, he has a chance to win the career Grand Slam next year at the U.S. Open at Shinnecock. He's won 3 of the 4, and I don't know. Tiger thinks that he might be truly, truly special. We'll have to wait and see, but it sure seems like it right now.
All right, two more golf questions, and then we'll get your thoughts on tonight and some of the reports from over the weekend on your favorite football team. This may be a dumb question, but I was curious because I don't know the answer. Hovland yesterday makes a putt to knock out Kim from the East Lake Final. Top 30 make it to this East Lake Final. And you saw the handshake with Hovland and Kim, like Hovland sort of almost apologetic. Did they know in that moment that that putt knocked Kim out of the top 30?
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, pretty much, because what happens at the PGA Tour is that there are leaderboards and scoreboards all over the place. And not only do they give you your positioning at the tournament, but during the playoffs, they give you your positioning as far as where you are in the FedEx Cup standings. Michael Kim knew exactly what he needed to do. Now, Victor may not have, and it's not as if a professional golfer is going to miss a putt.
Well, of course not. Yeah, I just didn't know if Hovland knew it or not.
Hovland definitely knew, because he knew going in what position he was in. And these guys are all astute with, you know, the numbers and how it works. And for sure, you could see it on Victor's face when he made the putt that he was almost like you said, he was almost like, man, I'm so sorry, Michael. But, you know, what does Michael expects him to make it? In fact, Michael, I'm not a social media guy, as you know, but Michael's one of these really good social media guys.
Very active.
And he immediately, did you see his tweet? Said, I thought Victor and I were friends. Right. So they both knew that was a very difficult spot. By the way, you know, it happened later with Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler almost made it in. If Ludvig Åberg would have three putted at the 18th, he didn't. He two putted. If he would have three putted, Ricky would have gotten in. So these guys all know what's going on.
I was rooting for Ricky to get in. He did that to himself, though, at 14 and 15.
100%. I mean, everybody was rooting for Ricky. Everybody wants Ricky to play well. He's such a nice kid, popular kid. It would be great to have him back at the Tour Championship. He wasn't there last year. Was there in 23. But 14 and 15 derailed him in a big hurry.
All right. How, for those that don't pay attention, because we've had it switch and there doesn't seem to be an answer that makes everybody happy, but how tell everybody how East Lake in the final this coming weekend will work.
I am happy to tell you it's just a straight-up four-day 72-hole stroke play event. Yeah. 30 guys are in the field. Anybody can win. The point system is gone. The staggered start is gone. Thank goodness for both of those.
Yeah.
The only issue I have now with the playoffs, the only one now, it's been 19 years, Kevin. You and I have talked about this forever. They got it right. It's 70 guys make it in, 50 guys make it to the next week, 30 guys make it to the last week. All 30 guys now have a chance to win the FedEx Cup. The only thing they need to change now is they cannot allow a player to skip an event in the playoffs and be eligible to win the FedEx Cup playoffs. If there's an injury or a family matter, that's one thing. But you cannot just withdraw from a tournament in the FedEx Cup playoffs and then go on to win. McIlroy didn't play in Memphis.
Right.
Because that's his prerogative. And this is not his fault. I'm picking on the tour, not the players. The players can do as they wish. The tour needs to get a hold of its product and say, nope, you cannot win the FedEx Cup and the big bonus and the playoffs if you skip an event unless there's an injury or there's a situation that you can't play.
With the push,
other than that, we are set to play for 30 guys this week, 72-hole stroke play, to see who wins it all. It'd be great.
Would the pushback, Steve, be that, like, this final, this upcoming weekend, doesn't represent the season-long win? You know, we're no longer in that position where, you end up, you know, starting the tournament at 10 under par or 8 under par, and you have an advantage over the players, and it is a cumulative thing. The one thing that you benefit from playing well all season in this season-long chase is that you do have the opportunity to, you know, skip Memphis or skip Caves and still be in the top 30.
sure, I don't mind that. I understand the premise, but yeah. The playoffs are 3 weeks. It's not 4 weeks in a row. It's 3 weeks.
Right.
You got to play in all three to be eligible. And look, the regular season is different than the playoffs in every other sport. Playoffs in golf is a little bit different. It's a little contrived. There's no question about it. It's a money grab. It's a TV thing. I get it.
Yeah.
I get all that, but it's different than other sports. But, you know, you can't just hand a regular season winner a playoff trophy, not in any sport, especially in team sports, but certainly in golf as well. It should be separated, and they did that this year. Scotty got a huge bonus for being number one in the regular season, and now the playoffs begin, and they start at scratch, and I think that's the way it should be. Look, the best team in our lifetime, our favorite football team, didn't win. We lost to the Raiders. They were better than the 91 team. The 91 team was great.
No, the 91 team was better, Steve. 91 team was better than 83.
Because they won it all?
No, because they were just better. They were a more complete team.
If the Skins beat the Raiders, isn't that the year they went 14-2, lost both games by one?
Yep. And in 1991, they went 14-2, and they lost, you know, a season ender against Philadelphia, in which they rested the starters in the second half. I think the 91 team, to me, is one of the greatest Super Bowl winning teams of all time.
Oh, for sure.
And it was so much more complete defensively than 83. They turn people over a lot. Plus 42. We all know plus 42 will never be touched in terms of turnover margin. But they also got lit up. I mean, torched, including in the Super Bowl. 91 defensively, they were a wrecking crew defensively. They shut out three of their first five opponents, something like that.
All right, well, I digress. Sorry, our dog.
No. These are the things that people would rather you and I be talking about anyway. So I didn't know you felt that way about the 83 team. Offensively, you might make the case the best offensive team in franchise history. But 91's close.
Okay. I mean, look, I'm in love with the 91 team. I remember the 91 team like it was yesterday. It was amazing.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think that when the playoffs come, it's got to be different than the regular season. PGA Tour didn't do that for a while. Thankfully, they worked on it. And now, you know, like that. My point was, you don't just hand the Skins the Super Bowl because they were so great that year. You don't hand the Patriots a Super Bowl just because they were undefeated. In the playoffs in golf, I think it should be the same way. So they fixed that. They addressed that, which I think is the good thing. And Scheffler got the big bonus. They separated the playoffs with the regular season. But now, once the playoffs begin, you can't skip a playoff event. Again, it's not the players' fault. It's not McIlroy's fault. It's the tour's fault. They have to get together with the players and say, no, if you don't play all three, you're not eligible to win.
All right. I was going to ask you about Rory, but we can do that another time. And what's
he's
happening?
Fine. He's fine. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with Rory. He just
I don't think there's anything fine, but I think people think there's something wrong with Rory. I mean,
I
he played well at the Scottish, but
fine.
That's been it.
He's fine. I promise you, he's fine. Look, the guy won the career Grand Slam, okay, at the Masters, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is, it's a lifelong goal that he has had literally since he was in diapers. So, you know, for people who are not going to have a net, and you think they're not going to have a natural hangover or letdown, you're out of your mind.
Right.
And again, Tiger is a different mindset than Rory. Rory's like a normal human being who's extraordinary at what he does. And, you know, I'm not saying he's an ordinary guy. I'm saying he's an ordinary person and who does extraordinary things. You know, Tiger was a machine. You know, McIlroy's not like that. So he's naturally going to have a little bit of a letdown. That's what's interesting about Scotty. Scotty doesn't have letdowns. And it's just a difference between those two players. Magnificent player, Rory is. Obviously top 20 player in the history of the sport, and he's still not done yet. But he's fine. He just is in a little bit of a rut. But he loves Eastlake. He's won it three times. He's the only person who's ever won three FedEx Cups. He's going to play with Scheffler. He's going to be in that final group on Thursday, and they're going to play together again, and that'll be awesome. And I certainly think he could win. This
certainly wouldn't bet against him. You'd be crazy to do that.
No, all right. There's no way you can bet against him on that golf course.
Yeah. All right. I got 3 minutes. So where are you on the Terry situation?
I think he needs to get signed, and I think that the team has got to hold steady, and I think that Terry kind of needs to understand his worth. And what I'm afraid is that he's going to keep going with this. I guess his agent's kind of it's just a strange situation. And from what I hear, but the team needs him for sure. And Terry's not going anywhere. They're not trading him. They own his rights. They're not moving him. So McLaurin needs to realize that he is a very, very good number one, not a great number one. And he's not going to get paid as if he's a great number one, especially at this age. So hopefully they come together, get it done. What I'm afraid of, and I said this yesterday to my youngest son after the event yesterday as we were talking, because he's so worried about the McLaurin thing, is when Emmett Smith held out, and then did they go 0-2 or 0-3?
Yeah, 0-2.
And then at 0-2, and Jerry Jones had to sign him. If we don't beat the Giants on opening day, which everybody thinks is a layup, which it's not, because it's opening day and you just don't know.
Of course.
And then go on a short week to Lambeau. If we're 0-2, he's going to get overpaid if he's still holding out, like Emmett. And that's not a good thing as far as the team and the structure is concerned. But they got to get this together, Kevin. Come on, man. He's too big of a deal to the play, to the team, and too big of a deal to the fan base. And does Josh Harris really want that to be the first hiccup that they make? I hope not. But they can't overpay him. It's going to hurt the team if they overpay him. So hopefully they come together.
All right. Thanks for doing this. As always, appreciate it. And I will talk to you soon. I was just thinking, you know, before Thursday, I might reach out to you again. You're always so generous, but we didn't preview upcoming tournament. I can't wait for it this weekend, which, by the way, also coincides with some college football this weekend.
Yeah.
Real football, finally.
Phenomenal. Real football, tour championship wraps up the FedEx Cup playoffs, and then we get cranking with the NFL. It's a great time of year. But you can call
certainly wouldn't be surprised if Steve's on the air trying to check for Iowa State, K-State scores, a score from that game.
It depends if we have a wager or not, but sure.
Yeah, well,
we have been known to have an iPad on football in the booth every once in a while.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right, Kevin, be good.
Steve Sands, everybody. We'll go, I don't think, to Cincinnati, because I think Ben Baby is in town for the game tonight. Ben Baby covers the Bengals for ESPN. He'll join us next.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.